From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. France is preparing for a presidential election on April 23rd, which means candidates are campaigning hard to be the country's next top executive. And following the fake news epidemic of the 2016 presidential election in the U.S., big tech firms are trying to preempt any issues across the pond. Both Google and Facebook are collaborating with French news organizations to fight fake news stories that might misinform French voters. Facebook, for instance, has a filtering tool that allows users to flag stories as fake, which then sends those stories to 8 major news organizations to fact check. Joining me to talk more about this is Mark Dean, Deputy Bureau Chief in Bloomberg's Paris Bureau. Mark, hello.
Hello.
How big of a role do Google and Facebook play in French citizens' news consumption?
I think it's absolutely analogous to what's happening in the States. More and more people, especially younger people, are depending on social media for their news intake, and it's changing people's perceptions of things.
So you're in the run-up to the election there. Have you seen any fake news being promoted?
I think it's fair to say that we have started to see reports which look a bit like fake news. Notably, one out this week, something I saw on my Twitter account about Emmanuel Macron, an independent presidential candidate here, suggesting that he is an American spy. Now, I haven't run that through any news checker, but one glance at that suggested to me that it was nonsense.
Can you talk about what these tech companies are doing to prevent the spread of fake news there in France?
Facebook and Google have extended tools that they have set up in the States to France. Google, for instance, is working with French media on a collaborative journalism project dubbed Crosscheck. On the government side, a lot's happening too. The Ministry of Defense briefed the political parties about this late last year and warned them about the dangers of fake news and how to spot it. Funnily enough, the one party that didn't accept that briefing was the National Front's Marine Le Pen.
And so the natural inclination for many here would be to compare Donald Trump to Marine Le Pen.
They're not exactly the same, but suffice to say they're both populists and out there to upend the establishments.
Do you think these tools are going to work?
I think that the tools are important, but as much as anything else, what's important is the awareness that stories circulating out there might be fake and the sort of level of public attention it's given that these stories are dangerous.
Mark Dean, he works in Bloomberg's Paris Bureau. Mark, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks very much, Ben.
If you want to see the future of the technology industry, a good place to start looking is the speculative world of venture capital. Well, one guy in that VC world we like to talk to is Paul Kodrosky of SK Ventures. He'll be joining us from time to time to give his vested view of new tech that is worth keeping an eye on. And today he wants to talk about computer vision. Paul, thanks for chatting.
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
It's going all right. So computer vision, this is not just recording, but also making a judgment about what's been recorded.
This is the idea that one of the things that comes with computers being both much more powerful, alongside of that, has also come an improvement in the image sensors themselves. And we've all seen that in cell phones. What you get are increasingly a sort of computer-based products that see a heck of a lot better than we do, which has all sorts of interesting applications.
And some of the hardware is getting cheaper, right? I guess it's all getting cheaper.
One of the important components that makes vision work really well is this thing called LiDAR. So LiDAR is kind of like radar. It's the light version. So it's pinging light off objects, laser light. It, in theory, stands for light detection and ranging. And the price of the cost of LiDAR has fallen since 2009 about 90%.
Why do you think that this might be bigger than voice recognition or voice assistant software?
Yeah, so I'll give you examples. Machine learning, which is sort of built on top of image sensing technology, was outperforming dermatologists with respect to detecting cancerous skin lesions. You give an algorithm 10,000 images, a million images, more than a dermatologist will see in their career, and let them look at a human with high resolution, and guess what? You get better results.
I want to ask you how you think all of this might change the way that we live in the future, but maybe through an example of the present, because apparently you've built a system for yourself.
Right.
Can you tell me more about this?
anyone who knows me knows I'm just a completely hopeless fan of skiing. Well, it turns out that ski resorts increasingly instrument their resorts with all these webcams, right? And I can tell you, on a minute-to-minute basis, using OpenCV, which is a sort of a library of computer vision technologies, and some of these techniques tell you roughly whether there's minimal line, a pretty decent line, or, get out of Dodge. It's really bad out there. It sounds trite and crazy, but this is what's suddenly perfectly straightforward for even, idiots like me to do, and yet people haven't realized how transformative it is.
Paul Kodrowski is a partner at SK Ventures. Paul, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks, Ben.
And it's fair to say that smartwatches are not the next hardware revolution, but they are getting updates. Android Wear, Google's software for wearables, got its first big update this week. Android Wear 2.0 makes it easier to use LG or other Android smartwatches with an iPhone, and you can get apps directly onto the watch. Here's the thing, though. According to the analytics firm IDC, sales of smartwatches have been on a steep downturn of late. And other than fitness tracking and receiving notifications, compared to phones, smartwatches are still kind of like a character from the Austin Powers movies.
He is exactly like you in every way. Except 1/8 your size.
And who wants to interact with a touchscreen that is 1/8 the size of a smartphone screen? I'd rather have something else from the Austin Powers movies.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.